Ernest said some good things there. If you guys want to turn to Mark 11:25, you will see. I like the way this is phrased. It says, when you stand praying, forgive. So when you're standing there praying, sitting, praying, standing, whatever, and you're praying, just start forgiving. Anything that's ever been done to you, everything that, because it's not for the other person that you say did you wrong. It's for you. You're taking this inward and you're saying, I'm just going to forgive. So when you stand praying, forgive. You notice how the stand praying, forgive. Look, put those three words together. You're standing there, you're praying, forgive. Think about what comes to your mind. Who do you need to forgive? Search yourself and see who you need to forgive. You may see your own image. You may see your own image and say, forgive me. Help me to forgive me. But you may see images of others. And if you do, stand praying, forgive. That's it. Just start forgiving. I've had to do that. Things that were, you know, said, whatever. You just have to forgive. The thing that's important about that, have a heart that's ready to forgive. Walk in that. You know, be instant in that almost. Just say, you know, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know that happened, this happened, this happened, it came against me, whatever. But my mind is to forgive. Jesus gave the greatest example. He's on the cross. They already stuck him in his side. Forthwith came blood and water. He's been crucified, nails in his hands and all. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. If they did, they wouldn't be doing this. But he said, just Father, forgive them. Man, what a heart. And people say, well, that was Jesus. You know, he was the Messiah. Okay, let's go to the 7th chapter of Acts. Stephen did the same thing. He said, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. So that shows you what Jesus did as an example. He put in us, since the Christ is in us, since the Son is in us, we have that ability and opportunity to do that. The same way he did, because he's in us. Well, we pray that he is, huh? We pray that we follow that, but he's in us. So we do the same thing. So stand praying, forgive. While you're praying, start right then. Forgive. Yeah, but they did. Forgive. I'm tired of this. It's been 20 years of this. Forgive. Why did it take you so long to forgive? See, that's how it has to work. So I wanted to talk to you about something tonight that's, oh my goodness, been thinking about it most of the day. I tried watching a little TV, did some stuff on the computer, whatever, and this just kept coming back, coming back. You know, when you're looking at something, doing something, my wife and I have a saying. Sometimes we go home and we watch TV, and then you know what happens? The TV starts watching us. We're gone. We're someplace else. And sometimes that works that way with thought, too. You know, I'm looking at something, supposed to be paying attention to it. I said that's what I wanted to look at, but here's where my mind's going. You know, my mind is going off on these thoughts. Pretty soon I got to put that to the side and just start concentrating on that meditation. You know, that's how it works with me. It just keeps going until you have to work on it. So we're in the age of the apostle. Remember, Dan has told us that. Gary told us that. Rick actually told us that. We're in the age of the apostle. Where the apostolic ministry is what's going forth right now. Jesus left, went back, sat on the right hand of the Father. He said, greater works than these shall you do. He said, I got my 12, you know, because that's who he came for. But that 12 in turn got the world. Isn't that cool? They got the world. Over and doing what they were supposed to do, and the whole, and are we still receiving the benefit of that even now? So what happens is that he did those things, and they are doing the same things that Jesus did. But what he's doing, he's saying, since I'm in you, I was with you, now I'm in you, I want to be able to work through you and cause you to be the apostle. What's the apostle? The sent one. That's what the apostle is, the sent one. The sent from who? Sent from God. What was Jesus? Was he sent from God? Yes, sent from God. The apostle, the sent one, okay? So we're in the age of the apostle, and there are lower and higher levels of the Spirit. Guys, don't expect everybody in here to be on the same level in the Spirit. That doesn't make sense even, huh? Even in our lives, we're going to be different in different things. We have different areas that we work in and whatever, different understandings and whatever, even here. So we're not going to all be the same. But do we have the same opportunity? Yeah, we have that opportunity. So there are higher, lower levels of the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, just thank God. Some people have they're in the Spirit and they say, well, I got to be up there. Well, no, you don't. Stay where you're at, be content, and let God move you there. That way you don't get yourself in trouble. Does that make sense? If you're in the Spirit, you're in God. You're in Christ. See that? So what do you have any issue with? I'm in Christ. Christ in me. See, you know, so what's the issue? Well, I'm not like brother so-and-so. You're not supposed to be like brother so-and-so. We're all different. We're all different levels of what God's doing. So there are different levels of the Spirit. Just keep that in your mind. Are we in a war? We've been talking about war for, what, 3 or 4 weeks, basically? We're talking about inward and outward, but there's a war. That's why there is an inward and an outward. There's a war going on. So in this war, do you edify the Lord or do you complain? I want you to think about that. We're in a war. We're going against these spirits. All these things are happening to us. We're fighting the war of God. We're the army of God. Well, are you doing it to edify the church, edify God, or are you doing it in a complaining manner? Ah, I hate this. I don't want to be part of this. I don't like this, whatever. Are you a complainer, or are you saying, with the power of God, he's going to help me to overcome this. He's going to help me to fight the war. He equipped you for it, didn't he? So if he equipped you for it, he's going to help you to win the battle, okay? So are you going to edify the Lord in it, or are you going to complain? That's something to think about. Resurrection, us being resurrected, overcomes the fall that we went into. Did you ever stop to think about that? When we're resurrected, that brings all things together. That's what we're working toward, is the resurrection. We want to apprehend that resurrection. We want to be able to be resurrected with the Lord, you know? And so what did Dan tell us? He said, if he didn't rise, you don't rise. That's pretty simple, huh? So since he did rise, so what is our goal should be? That we should rise also. Well, how do you do that? Well, do the things that are necessary for resurrection. Get the wisdom and understanding of God. As you get that, every time God gives you an understanding or some wisdom of something, you get another resurrection of another thought or whatever. You just keep going. Don't stop. That's the thing. So continue to do that. So resurrection overcomes that fall we went into. Oh, yeah, we fell. But now, where are we at now? Are you concentrating on the fall, or are you concentrating sitting in heavenly places with God? Because he said we could do it, right? So are you concentrating on being fallen, or are you concentrating on sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Because he said once you believe in him, once you're resurrected, you get the wisdom and understanding, that's where I'm going to take you. You'll sit in heavenly places. You'll be walking around like this, still in this body, but your mind will be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus because you fulfilled the same walk that he walked. That's the reason you're going to be there. So are you a son, daughter? That's where you're going to be. It's very important for you to understand that. I was talking to my wife earlier. I was asking, I said, what is evil? If you had to actually say what it is. Well, evil is not having wisdom or understanding, which leaves you in the flesh, no wisdom and understanding, which makes you naturally follow evil. Now stop. Think about this. Isn't that what we were until we found Christ? And such were some of you, it says. We did everything we thought we were big enough to do. We went off into stuff that was detrimental to. We did stuff that hurt ourselves. All of us did. We made decisions that hurt ourselves, and whatever. We didn't know God. We just went off and did our own thing, right? Well, that's exactly what we did. When we had no understanding, no wisdom, evil could take over. See how that works? But you have to remember where you came from in that, why we did those things. Well, where were you at? Well, I didn't know God then. Yes. But now you do. When you don't understand, wow. The more mature you are, the more you understand. And the more things don't get you upset. You know what I mean? You don't get all in a big fix and get all messed up and screaming and crying and hollering and getting mad and getting angry. You're not so quick to get into those things because you have matured in God. That's a good thing. So here's something that, are we always going to be offended by so much? When we stay offended by so much, evil has a place in us. I'm serious. If we keep staying offended at so much, then what is that evil work doing to us? Making us evil. Why are you so offended at evil works all the time? Evil's going to be here. Your job is to get the understanding and the wisdom so that it doesn't affect you. That's the key. But why are you getting so offended at evil works? This goes back to the forgive again. If you stop and think about it, when you stand praying, forgive. Well, some of us can't do it. We're so busy being offended by the evil works that came toward us. Well, that's what's going to happen, guys, in this life. Evil works are going to come to you. And they're going to come through people, through spirits, through situations, through whatever. So why keep getting offended at evil works? Well, I just don't like that. And that bothers me. And that was, yeah. I think it bothered Jesus too. But he had the mind that he said, you know what? My Father's given me the power to overcome all that. Even went out in the desert to be tempted by the devil. Even had to experience in the flesh what we experience. He said, but you know what? I got to make sure that I overcome all of this because I'm the example. And if I do it, the people I ask to follow me, they'll be able to do it because I'll give them the strength to do it. I'll be the intercessor. I'll be the one that's the mediator between man and God. Isn't he the mediator? Isn't he the intercessor? Yes. When we have groanings and utterings that we can't even put forth into words, we're hurting so bad or we got so much going on. He says, I understand what that is. You're groaning. I don't even know if I can say it, Lord. Oh, I'm in such. Yeah, I understand. I understand what that is. I imagine in his flesh on the cross, that had to be agonizing, hanging from those nails and nails in the feet and the spear in the side. And from time to time, he may have gone, Didn't it say in, is it Psalms 22? His tongue clave to his mouth. Wow. And then when he did ask for something to drink, they gave him vinegar. That's not going to help. See what I mean? So he probably did a few of those in his flesh. Oh, Father. See what I mean? He suffered like we would suffer. I imagine that. I put myself there, you know, and he did that. So sometimes we can't even utter it, but you know what? He understands because he's been through it. That's the key. He's been through it. He knows what that means. And he knows what all of that means. All your groanings and your utterings, you know, they may not even be intelligible. You know, you're just going to say them and do them. And people say, what's that all about? Well, you're suffering. See how that is? Sometimes we do suffer. So quit getting offended at evil works. They're going to be there. They're there to try you, to test you. They serve a purpose. Quit getting offended at evil works and the people that do the evil works. Quit getting offended at that. Just go beyond that and say, this is for me. This is for me. Think about it, what I just said. This is for me. Pretty important for you to say that. So you can't be offended at every evil work. that evil, like I said, is not having the wisdom and understanding of God. And I was talking to Gary tonight in the truck. He said, add will to that too, because your will is mixed in with that. You know, with the understanding and the wisdom, when you don't have that, that's when evil is present, right? But also, if your will is not, we would say there must first be a willing mind. If your mind's not willing, it's going to be awful hard for you to follow this way, to go through the things that Jesus went through. He said, if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me. So what was he telling you? You're going to suffer. You suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And that's not all the time, but there are going to be times of suffering. Isn't that true? There's going to be times of suffering, but he said, prepare yourself for it. You will suffer because I suffered. And if you want to reign with me, go through it. And it's not like you're going through it alone. Christ is right there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth, ooh, in front of the enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, he could look beyond. David could. He said, yeah, this, I'm going through all of this. I can look beyond that and see what God's doing for me. What's he doing for you? We think about Jesus creating his throne on the throne of David. Do you realize he creates his throne on your throne? In your temple? Who do you think puts you on the throne in your temple? God does. And who's in you so you can sit on the throne in your temple? God is. So is he doing the same thing for you? Sometimes we just sell ourselves short. Oh, he did that for David. I wish I could do that. You are going through that. You do have that. You just have to stop and think what you're saying. David desired to look into things we're going through, what we have. Oh, David does. And he's seeing how God works differently with us. It's not a law. What is it? It's a circumcision of the heart. Ah, now I see. Now he's working inwardly. Here we go again. Inwardly in you. He's going to touch the heart. He's going to bring the word to the heart and endure in that heart. Isn't that cool? Very cool thing. I wanted to read something to you here. We've read this many times. Many times. Actually, I'm not going to read it. Could I get somebody to read this for me? Galatians 5, starting at verse 18 or 19. Read very clearly. Read very loud. Galatians 5, 19, I think, is where it starts.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest.
Stop. It's telling you plainly what we're talking about. The works of the flesh. And we immediately go, you mean this? No. We're talking again about the inward, rotten, what is that, old man of sin? We're talking about the flesh, that's the mindset and the heart, where the issues of life come from, what motivates you, what gets you going. We're not talking about this. This goes back to dust. But that stuff, what's going on inside of you, is the most important thing. God wants to work with your thought, how you think, where your heart is. So the works of the flesh that are manifest are what? These. Now start saying them.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
They can't. If you're doing any of these things, if these things have gotten a hold of you, if you are manifesting the works of the flesh, how can you inherit the kingdom? You're not going to be able to do that. So what was the first one? Wasn't it adultery? Okay, here we go. We start thinking some man cheating on his wife. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you cheating on God. God is the husbandman. God is the husband to the church. And if you start worshiping other gods other than him, what did he say back under the law? We said the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods, what? Before me. And then another place in Psalms, he said, I don't know another God. I've looked, I've searched, I can't find none. There's no other God anywhere. I've looked for him. There's none. All I could find was me. There's only one God. So you start doing things against that God, opposing that God. If you join yourself to spirits that oppose that God, what are you doing? You're committing adultery because he's married to the church. He gave his life for his wife. Didn't it say he gave his life for his wife, which is the church? He gave his life for the church. Okay. Well, then the next one's fornication. Well, if you do things outside of the body. So the body is the church, right? What if you go outside of the body to join yourself to something that causes you to commit fornication? And I'm talking about fornicating with a thought that draws you into it. What if it's hatred? What if it's malice? What if it's pride? What if it's that offense I was talking about? Constantly being offended, constantly being angry. Wow. Hatred, wrath. What if that is what it is that you're fornicating with? Lust. What if that's what you're fornicating with? When you fornicate, you become one. Didn't he say he that joins himself to a harlot becomes one? He says that, doesn't he? And those things are harlotry because Jezebel's working. The strange woman is working. The great whore of Babylon is working. All of that is working to try to draw you into that. You see where I'm saying that? So after fornication, what's the next one? Somebody got that? What's the one after fornication? Uncleanness. That should be pretty evident. What would make you unclean? How you think. Dirty thoughts. Unclean. Remember what they used to do to the lepers? Did you ever stop to think why that still pertains to us in this day? What did the leper have to do when he walked up to people and cried around people and whatever? He had to, they were so restrictive on lepers. They had to walk through the street saying, unclean, unclean. And of course, people are looking at them and they have these blemishes all over them. Guess what those blemishes represented? Sin, iniquity. And so that they would have to say unclean. Well, we're saying, well, it's a disease and we found out what caused that disease. It's the leprosarium, da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Yeah, you're thinking natural again. What we're thinking about, remember when Miriam came against Moses? What did God do? He struck her with leprosy. It's not that some germ jumped on her. God struck her with leprosy. She had to stay outside of the camp how long? 7 days. And he said, if I had spit in your face as a father, he said, you'd have to do that. Where fathers didn't spit in their daughter's face unless they did something wrong. So he said, if I spit in your face, you still have to go out 7 days. But since you came against my man Moses, who told you you could do that? That's the 12th chapter of Numbers, if you want to look it up. And then she convinced her brother Aaron to do it because it started off with Miriam. You notice he didn't strike Aaron with the leprosy, only her, because it started with her. And then she tried to influence him. And then the next thing you know, God says, okay, that's it. You came against my man, that's my man. That's who I'm working, dealing with, not you. He's the leader. And you're going to come against him? And all because he married an Ethiopian woman. Go back and read it. And they were dissatisfied with that. And that's what Miriam started causing a problem with. God said, okay, let's do something to you. Boom! Leprosy. That was the sin. That was rebellion. That was sedition. Think about it. And God said, okay, that's sin. Let's make it manifest to the whole tribe, to the whole camp. Yeah. So what was the next one after uncleanness? lasciviousness. That is a gross lust. You're lusting all the time. You're a lust bucket. All the time. That's what lasciviousness is. You think of new ways to be lustful. I'm serious. You got to try everything. You got to do things that are nasty, filthy, whatever, but you're a lust bucket. That's lasciviousness. That's why they gave it a different word. Think about that. What's the next one?
Idolatry.
Idolatry. Whoa, here we go again. Isn't that what Balaam and Jezebel in the churches, didn't they do that? Remember the church of Thyatira? They both taught what? The people to? To do what? Well, yeah, to eat things offered unto idols. And then they said, well, you suffered Jezebel to teach in the church. Did you ever read that? How in the world could Jezebel teach in the church unless somebody's way off about what they're following God is all about? And allowed that thought to join with them and even taught it to the church. Here's something that people don't realize. That's what Balaam did. It says the same thing about him, doesn't it? Doesn't it say he taught the people to eat things offered unto idols? You know why? Remember when he went with Balak and Balak wanted him to curse Israel and all that stuff? And God told him, don't do it, don't do it, and all that. And finally, at the end of that, you think he followed all of that. But there's a couple of things about Balaam you need to know. Number one, he was a diviner. Go back and look it up. You'll find out. He had a spirit of divination. He had a familiar spirit in him. And he would use that from time to time. Was he a true prophet of God? No. But could God talk to him? But he was noted as a prophet because of these divination things. Wow. And so what he taught Balak to do, he followed what God said. I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to curse him. He didn't do it because God told him not to, or he was going to suffer. But he did something else. He said, I'm going to teach you how you can get around what God said. I want all those women that are under Balak, those Moabites, I want them to go and lay with the Israelite men. And then as they lay with them, they'll get influence over them, and it'll start them to worship their God. So he went a different way. He taught Balak. And that's what it says when you go back and read. It said he taught Balak to put a stumbling block in front of the children of Israel. That's how he did it. I think it's the 25th chapter of Numbers. But you go read it, and that's what he did. He told them, okay, take the Moabite, tell them to all go and lay with the men. Just offer themselves. And, you know, those weak-minded men, that's what they did. And then what happened was, then they started convincing them through that influence, need to worship our God. Need to worship our God. And slowly it infiltrated through Israel, and a mess of them fell. Wow. So did he still teach them? Did he find another way? That's why it talks about him like that in the seven churches. Very powerful. What's the next one?
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. Ooh, that's the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. Go to the 18th chapter. I want you to see this. I think it's verses like 9 or 10, somewhere around there, 8, 9, and 10, because I can't remember exactly where it's at. It talks about the necromancer, the whisperer, the, what does it say? 18. Probably verse 9 or 10, maybe a little bit more. I may have to get it myself. Does it talk about all those things? Maybe go down a little bit. It may not be that verse. Let me see. There you go.
Yeah.
Which verse is it? It is 10, yeah. Okay, so read that list. This is the witchcraft it's talking about.
Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that marketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter. Or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer.
Necromancer is one that works around with the dead. Enchanter, seductress, all of these things. You think about it. And he's warning us that that's witchcraft. Well, we say, we think it's the old lady riding on the broom with the pointed hat and whatever. That's not witchcraft. Witchcraft is when you start dealing with these spirits that take you to those places. That's witchcraft. You allow that spirit to join itself to you. And we got people like that. I know people will not go out their door unless their horoscope tells them what they can do. Doesn't it say the times? Uh-huh. Or they go to the Reiki lady and they tell them what they're supposed to do the day. Give her $5 and she tells you. Or you go to the, you know what? If these people were real, think about it now. Why are they in these little huts and small, and they rent these little places? They should be rich if they're doing it. You see what I'm saying? If what they're saying was true and real and good, they should be rich. But it isn't, because they're necromancers. They work with the dead spirits. They're wizards. Ah. Sorcerers. Ah. Enchanters. Come, let me show you my tarot cards. Let me put the dice out there a bit, and I'll tell you where you're going to go and what's going to happen to you. I know people that live their lives by that. Every week they got to go see what the Reiki lady's going to say. Where's God in all that? Nowhere. This 18th chapter, if you keep reading, it says put them to death. God said, don't mess with that. Don't touch that mess. Put them to death. Wow. That's witchcraft, guys. That's sorcery. That's the type of stuff. And people say, well, we don't deal with all that today. Yes, you do. There are people that say things and do things that try to convince you in your thought and in your spirit, and they are whisperers. They say things to you. Remember what Simon did? Did he want to buy that gift of the Holy Ghost? But how would he deceive the people all the time before that? Ah, divination, huh? That's how he deceived the people. They thought he was some great man. And did he speak words of God to do it? Yes. So now we're starting to get into the false prophet, the false teacher, all of that. They all do that stuff. And they say God told them to do it. This is it's a gift from God that I have. I have a gift from God. No, you got a gift from the devil. You ain't get no gift from God. That's not how God works. You see how that works there? What's the next one? Witchcraft and then? Emulation. Copying somebody. Wanting to be like somebody. Ooh, man, think of all those stars and all these young people running around trying to be like them. Try to dress like him. Try to do the same thing. I want to do what she does. I want to do what he does. I want to do this. I want to do that. And aren't we hearing about people, they go into the depths of that lasciviousness, that lustfulness, going, and they harm young people that come to them. Young women and young men, don't they? Very powerful, guys. And they want to be like them. Why would you want to be like something like that? But they've got them fooled. Rich, money, fame. What are that? You want to be like me, don't you? No, because a lot of those people wind up committing suicide, not living right, losing everything they've got, and they always somehow get caught eventually. They do, don't they? Pretty soon they go outlandish and they get caught. Wow. Very cool, huh? But we admire people like that. What is that thing on TV? American Idol. They named it that, didn't they? Ooh. I want to be like them. Really? That's not what you want to be like. You want to be like God. That's what you want to be. What's the next one? Does it say another one? We may not do all of them.
Hatred variance.
Oh, that type of stuff. They're pretty self-explanatory. Hatred. Variance is always, you know, God says this, you want to do this. Variance. God says this, you want to do that. God says go this way, I'll go that way. There was a prophet that did that. God said, go preach to Nineveh. I ain't going. I'm going to go another way. That's variance. I want to do something different. See? It's funny how this all works, but we have examples of it all. So I'm not going to go through the rest of that. Matthew 15:19. will read this, and I think you caught pretty much most of what we're talking about. Are we still talking about the inward and the outward? Are we talking about the age of the apostle revealing these things? It's revealing all of it. We shouldn't be taken by surprise by any of this. So Matthew 15:19, what does that say? Who's going to read for me back there?
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts.
Well, out of the heart comes what?
Evil thoughts.
No, no, it's something that has to go in you. No, no, it's already in you. That has to come out. For out of the heart, what?
Proceed evil thoughts.
First thing is evil thoughts. What's the next thing?
Murderers.
Oh.
Adulteries.
See, it says it again, doesn't it?
Fornications.
Again.
Thefts.
Theft false of what? Witness. You mean going out and just being a thief? What are you stealing? Are you stealing God's glory? Are you stealing his word and changing it and making it something of your own? What does it say about a thief and a robber? Any man that comes up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. So why is he a thief and a robber? Because he's going a different way about the word of God than what God says to do. So he steals from God, changes the word to fit his knowledge, and then becomes something special by doing that. See? Oh, for sure. For sure. Don't they have to use the word of God to be false? But they change it. That's the problem. They have to use it. If they're going to try and win you, they have to use it. They have to come as close as they can to the word and not really. They want to put their own, here's where the variance comes in. They want to put their own thought into it. I say it's this. Well, God said it was this. No, I say it's this. Variance. See? That's what they do.
What a man would say as opposed to God.
Yes.
And so when you said that, it made me think just of a priest, for example, you know, that would maybe tell you, well, these are the rules, so this is what you have to do, even though it might not be. Like in writing, it's not the word of God, but it's more of a rule that man created.
That's what religion is. It's man's interpretation of what he thinks God wants. That's religion. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's their own personal, you know, edification about what they think God wants. They edify themselves. Look at me. I'll give you the answer. I'll save you, even. You know, I'll give you the word and whatever. Didn't the Pharisees do that? They hated Jesus because he came and busted all that up, and the people started following him. They said, we got to get rid of this guy, you know, because that's exactly what a Pharisee does. He could use Jesus said one time to his disciples, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Because they could speak the word of God real good, but then they wouldn't live it. They were hypocrites. So he said, do what they say, according to the word, but don't do what they do. Don't do like they do. Because he knew that it was a hypocrite working. See? They could quote the word of God. They quoted it to Jesus. And he would say, yeah, that's right, but I say. And he'd go on and give them the whole deal there. Wow, that's pretty good. So I'm not going to go through the rest of the list. It's almost an identical list, a few things that are different. But what I'm saying to you is that we have to be very careful about what we allow to come into us, you know? It's an important thing to think about what thoughts are we entertaining? You notice I use the word entertaining. What thoughts are we entertaining? Are we allowing to come in and set up residence inside of us? They build a house. You understand what I'm saying? What thoughts are we allowing to do that? Hey, Ernest said something earlier. This is the thing where we have to know. It works in marriages. It works in parenting. It works in the church between brothers and sisters. It works outside the church. It works on the job. Haven't you seen things where things just blow up on the job? Somebody said, I quit, and they're gone. You know what I said? I said, yeah, what caused all that? What caused all that confusion and all that trouble and all that contention? What caused it? Well, there's a spirit sitting back there laughing. I got that. All I had to do was introduce it to one and let that one go and introduce it to the others. All I had to do is put a thought in the husband's mind and then put a thought in the wife's mind. They're not going to get together. Then I'm going to do it to the children. So the parents try it with the children. The children say, I don't pay attention to them. I hate them. Have you ever heard children say they hate their parents? Yes, I have heard that. So then it gets into the children. They rebel against the parents. So it, does it keep going on? Keeps going on. Don't be a tool of this adversary. We're still talking inward and outward. Don't be a tool of the adversary. Don't let this offense, evil works, take you into offense. That's what you, that goes for both everybody in here. Don't be so offended at evil works. They're going to come. But don't let it separate you. See? It's going to come. Love covers a multitude of what? I'll end with that. Covers a multitude of what? In one place it says a multitude of faults, and another place says a multitude of sins. Doesn't it say that? Love is the answer. Love unconditionally. Does that work?
I was going to say that I think this goes right along with what everybody's been saying. In James chapter 1, 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth that manner of man he was.
That's true.
And I think it's a lot of stuff like that going on, that we hear the word, but because there is no understanding or wisdom in that word, we're not a doer of the word. And some people haven't even humbled themselves enough to even follow the word. And like the thing that happened between me and Gary when I called him and was telling him about an issue that I had. And he said that I'm not concerned about that other person. I'm concerned about why you think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so he turned it back inward
to you,
to me. And that's with everybody. When these things come up in us, turn it back in you. Okay, why am I feeling this way? Why is this making me so angry? But we don't want to do that. We want to go like that. Everybody else is doing it. But I'm not doing anything. I'm an angel. How could you say that? You don't mean that, do you? So what the enemy is causing us to do is to bite at what that other person
sure.
is saying. So I'm joining myself to... It could possibly be true, but we're upset at the way it's being said, but it's still a truth to you. So if everybody do their own individual work, things would go a lot better. Stop putting it on somebody else to do the work that you're supposed to do in yourself. So that taught me a very valuable lesson, that this is an inward work into me. So when those things come up that's all around me, like you were saying, the strife, the bitterness and all that stuff that comes up in me, why? Is this affecting me so
the way it
bad?
Is. Why?
So God is trying to show me something about me and what's in me. And there's probably a whole city in here of me that needs to repent and bow down and follow God. And that if we do that, we'll be so much at peace with ourselves. But it's an inward work. It's an individual inward work. I can't do it for anybody else but for me. So let's do that inward work here in my thought. Why? Is this happening to me? God is trying to show you something.
We need to start questioning it. We really do. Why these things are going on in our mind. Why there's so much contention and variance and all that stuff going on. Why? Why is there confusion and contention in my life? Why are my thoughts so, you know, why? We need to go back to the why. Then you know what? We told you the answer tonight. Start thinking now. Why? Take it. You get yourself straight. But they did, they can point, we can point the finger at people really quick. You know why? Because we're judging them by the flesh. We judge them from the outside here.
What did you say tonight, evil was? You said a lack of wisdom.
Evil is not having the wisdom and understanding of God. and your will's not in it. When you don't have the wisdom and understand, your will's not going to be there.
That to me tonight was one of those mind-blowing, because I think of evil, and there's a show on TV called Evil that talks about it's a group of people. It's a priest, a psychologist, and a tech guy. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but when you said evil, that came to mind, because they portray evil very differently. And so when you said the words today that it was a lack of wisdom and understanding
of God,
God, it made complete sense, because that's that's where it starts. And
these people pick out things and events that are evil. They say this is evil or that is evil. They point to something that's manifested. But where did it start?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it come to be? Well, they weren't paying attention to God. So then they're going to see a lot of evil things.
Yeah. Because I think when you see it that way, then you can apply it. And for me, this is why it was so mind-blowing, because I think we live in a world where evil is commercialized in
all the time.
It's something dark, or it's, you know, this person or this thing that looks evil, dark. But if you really think about it in the way that you explained it tonight, the lack of wisdom and understanding, then we can really apply it to the everyday life, you know, people, like real people. And
it helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They have to have the wisdom and understanding of God. If they neglect that and turn their back to that, all that's waiting for them is evil. That's everything out there will be evil. Because they turn their back on the one that's not evil.